Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat this grand, do it, Marcos. This week we're joined by defender Jason Brown, and Jason Brown talks about his 3 years at Balmoor as well as his plans for the future. Here's the interview in full.
Right, pleased to say this week we've been joined by defender Jason Brown. Jason, how are you?
Yeah, very good, guys. All good, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. So how's lockdown been for you? How have you been coping?
Yeah, I've been coping okay. It's doing the best we can. I think we're all in the same boat, and we're all getting a bit itchy feet now, but hopefully we're seeing there's a wee bit of light at the end of the tunnel now. We're starting to get outside a wee bit more and stuff like that, yeah, but it's been a very strange time for us all and something that we've obviously never been through.
Mm-hmm. Does it help that you've got a footballing brother as well, that competitive kind of edge, trying to outdo each other in the Instagram posts and things like that?
Yeah, definitely, no. I think it's been a great help, to be honest, when sometimes I'm bouncing off him and he's bouncing off me. We're getting out and training together, so we're lucky enough that we're both at the same kind of stages, and no, it's good to get out training with each other, and that's been a big help and a big motivation. And sometimes when you're lying in the house and you're needing hauled out your bed, or you're hauled out your to get out and go a run or go things like that, it's good to have him there. So no, it's been all good.
And of course, you've been smashing him in the training, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. He's got to get past me, but that's not happening. So we've been the competitive edge is definitely still there.
Good. So what's your kind of plans for the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks then? Are you going to try and do a bit of contact training, or are you still going to stick to what you've been doing?
Yeah, no, we'll try and do as much as we can over the next couple of weeks. We've been sticking to quite a strict routine. I've been quite luckily enough where I've been working most of the lockdown, so my routine hasn't really changed. Jordan's obviously working from home here, so no, I've been getting up, going to work and stuff like that, then coming home and going out training at night, so I've been quite lucky that I've kept some sort of routine. So no, we'll just continue that the next few weeks and obviously just stick by the guidelines and here and see what we can do. So no, hopefully just much more of the same and training and stuff. So no, that's what the next few weeks would be like.
Do you think it's been a big help to you, the fact that you've had a routine through the whole situation so far?
Yeah, definitely, Martin. Like I say, I've been quite lucky to have that routine where I've not much has really changed except from your training nights and obviously missing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, not knowing what to do with yourself. But during the week and stuff like that, it's been pretty good because I've been pretty in a strict routine with obviously my working in the day and then training at night. So yeah, I can't really complain too much. So it's all good.
Okay, so you've just completed it's supposed to be your third season. It's 3/4 of a season. How do you kind of sum up the season, both personally and as a team?
Yeah, look, I think the season as a overall for the team was a wee bit frustrating. We could have definitely been in a better position than we were come towards the end. And no, I think the team was quite frustrated with the boys were having a changing room. And we all know that results-wise, it wasn't good enough, I think, for quite a lot of the games. We were well in most of the games. We just maybe didn't pick up enough points that we deserved. But at the end of the day, if you don't do that, then you'll be struggling down the bottom of the league, where we would have rather been up the top, looking above ourselves rather than behind ourselves. But it was just the situation we were in. So no, it was quite a frustrating one for us. And on a personal note, much and such the same. Really, it was frustrating ups and downs. To be honest, a couple of good performances and then maybe a bad one. So no. It was quite a frustrating season overall, and then the way it finished didn't help things because everyone was a bit in limbo of what was going to happen. So, no, there were some good things and there were some bad things, but that's expected over a season. But no, it was a wee bit of a frustrating one.
And do you think yourself, obviously being a year older now, do you think you've improved any from what you were last season? Obviously playing at a higher level, playing against sort of better class players, I guess. Does that help your development?
Yeah, definitely. League One's been it's a really tough league this year. I was listening to Si's last week, and like you said, I think it's the toughest it's been. There's some really good teams and really good players that are probably shouldn't be playing at this level. You look at the sorts of Clyde and David Bubilly and the strikers that he's got, and Falkirk, Ben McManus's and stuff like that, that are probably a bit better than this level. But for me, it's a good challenge, and it's a good to come up against these guys. And so it's been an enjoyable one, but a really tough one.
I'm asking you guys major encouragement this season, because come up the League Two and you're saying you're playing against players that really shouldn't be at that level. It must give you huge encouragement how well you have actually played, although it's been a frustrating season. Like you said, there hasn't been many games where we've been dominated in either.
Yeah, no, Martin, spot on. I think we haven't actually lost a game, been battered, except for maybe once or twice away at Falkirk and stuff like that, away at Raith Rovers at the start of the season. I don't think our teams came up and pushed us over often. So, no, we definitely held their own and maybe deserved a wee bit more out of games against these better teams. And I think that is a credit to ourselves. Like I said, it was a frustrating season, but I think maybe a couple of results the other way, and maybe where we nicked a win rather than a draw, or nicked a draw rather than a defeat, and we would have been looking up the way, and it would have been a good season for us. So, it's obviously really good to be testing yourself against these guys and the experience that they've got. You also mentioned like Connor Salmon and stuff. They've all been around the block. So, no, it's where you want to be testing yourself, definitely. So, no, it is good, and hopefully it stands me in good stead going forward.
You mentioned guys like Goodwillie and McManus and players like that. Does that give you does that G you up a bit? Did you think, because you're playing against these kind of players, or did you kind of get a bit nervous playing against that kind of guys?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's challenges I want to be playing against. I want to be playing against top quality players, and hopefully it spurs you on as well. You know, you've got to be on your game. If you're not on your game against these players, they'll punish you. So, no, it's definitely a challenge, a relish, and I've really enjoyed this season playing against these types of players. So, yeah, like I said, it'll hopefully stand me in good stead going forward.
And obviously, start end of last season, this time last season, celebrating the League Two title. How was that, winning that at Hampden?
Yeah, that's probably the best highlight of my career so far, that day at Hampden, obviously, with a massive blow the week before. The week leading up to it wasn't great, but the day itself, the Saturday, was just absolutely brilliant. It was a nervy start to the day, but once we got two goals up and started enjoying ourselves and stuff like that, it was a really enjoyable day and one I'll never forget.
Does it make it even better that it was at Hampden, or would you prefer to have done it the week before? Now that you can, obviously we did get promoted.
Yeah, I think we would have probably rather done up the road in front of our own fans. We had a big crowd that day, and and we were so close, obviously. You could almost feel the party atmosphere starting, but obviously the late goal absolutely killed it. But that's football, and it's maybe made us a bit stronger, and we maybe learnt from it, learnt from that experience a couple of times this season where we maybe were hanging on to a draw or a win, and we maybe just got over the line, or we maybe learnt from that Stirling game. You know, you have to concentrate the full 90 plus 5 minutes, and every second counts, because that minute you do maybe switch off or stuff like that, you can be punished, and that day we were. But yeah, it was obviously the week after was an amazing feeling to get that over the line.
It's interesting you say that, because a couple of times Martin and I have kind of mentioned that result probably against Stirling Albion probably set us in good stead for the rest of the season, because as you said, there's a few games this season where we've probably drawn, but last season we may have lost that game. So do you guys kind of talk about that kind of things as well?
Yeah, definitely. We use that as a prime example for the players that were there and played that day, that it's a football game of 90 plus 5 minutes or whatever it is. You've got to be concentrated for every single one, and even up to the last 10 seconds, the game's never won until the referee blows the whistle, as they all say. But we're quite a young squad as well. I think that everyone was quite young, so it was a big learning curve for us younger players to have that big low, obviously, and then to bounce back from it the way we did, I think was good. And like you say, we've learned from it, and hopefully we continue to learn from it and not let it happen again.
And as a defender, is it more difficult for you to kind of take that kind of result? Because sometimes, obviously, the defenders will be looked at and said, well, maybe you should have cleared the lines, etc., etc. But kind of, do you look at that and go, maybe should have done better? Do you look at, or are you too harsh on yourself maybe sometimes? Or do you just kind of look at it and think, well, maybe somebody else could have done better?
yeah, overall, I do think I'm probably my biggest critic. You know what I mean? Always look at the things that are the negative things rather than the positive things. But I don't think that's a bad thing. But yeah, that day, I don't think it was a genuine mistake that cost us. It was just a big lump up to the pitch. We didn't pick up the first ball. We got crossed in, and the guy got a shot away. And that's all I really remember. I don't remember too much about the goal. I just remember the feeling after of, yeah, it was just wasn't good. But no, that day, I don't think too much players could have. No, it wasn't one big mistake that cost us that day. It was just one of these things that happens. And yeah, it was just important that we bounced back week after, and we did. And yeah, so it was all good.
You talk about sort of fine lines for this season, getting maybe higher up in position. I want to ask you about the game against Airdrie when you had two shots off the line.
Yeah, definitely. That's maybe what I'm saying is luck as well. Sometimes isn't always been on our side this season. I think we've had a couple of penalty decisions that haven't went our way, and we've had probably a couple of penalty decisions that have been given against us that haven't been. And these little things, obviously, every point's massive in this league, and comes down to fine lines like that, where sometimes we have been on the bad side of a decision that's maybe cost us, or we can feel slightly hard done for ourselves. But yeah, definitely fine margins in this league is a big thing. Like I said, winning games by a goal or one goal or a draw is way better than obviously losing. But yeah, it's been sometimes little decisions haven't went for us this season, I think.
How do you guys as a team collectively feel? You know, obviously, when you get the win, do you get quite ecstatic about it, or he's quite level, whether it be a win or a draw, a defeat, he's quite level in that sort of sense?
I think you've got to be as you've got to not get too high when you win and not get too low when you lose to have a good season. Like, you can't get too ahead of yourself and think everything's good and dandy, and then you can't take a defeat too badly because there's always another game just around the corner. So yeah, it's majorly important that you stay level headed and you're always concentrated on the next game. But so you can't get too ahead of yourself, so we always try and never get too high, and we try and never get too low, but sometimes it's easier said than done.
You said earlier about the squad being quite young. We look at the kind of defenders that you've got with you. I think Scott Hooper's the oldest one at 25. Do you think that's maybe been some of the reasons why that you maybe kind of haven't maybe performed as well? Maybe you needed yourself or somebody else who's playing at centre-half maybe needed a more experienced centre-half?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, young players are, obviously, there's quite a lot of young players in the defence, and we're all still learning, and we're going to be a wee bit more inconsistent maybe than the experienced head. So maybe a experienced player would have maybe helped through when, obviously, a couple of us were going through a couple of maybe bad performances. But no, on the overall, I think all the young players can hold their head high this season when we've all been asked off, we've all gave it our 100%, and that's all you can really ask for.
How much of a loss was David McCracken for you as a defender then, once he left? Because I can imagine how experienced player he was. He could have kind of maybe kind of put an arm round about your shoulders and things like that, being the one that could have maybe helped you when you were down.
Definitely, I had a great 2.5 years or whatever it was with Cracks when he was here. I learned so much off him, obviously, playing alongside him. And then when he took up the coaching role, was brilliant for the defenders as on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night when we were training. He would maybe take the defenders aside and we'd go and do our own drills. And obviously, with him having such a good career as a defender and him able to pass on his experience was vital for us. And maybe we just lost that towards the end of the last season and that paid a wee bit. But no, I can't speak highly enough of Cracks. He was a brilliant player for me and then he was a brilliant coach for me. So no, I still stay in contact with him quite a lot. And yeah, we're really close.
Obviously, we'll see him back again next season as he's going to bring Falkirk back. He did quite well, him and Lee Miller as a management. Was that something you always thought he would end up doing?
Yeah, when he made the switch from being a player to manager, he picked it up no bother, like we all expected him to. He was really good, so there was no surprise at all seeing Cracks go on and hit the ground running at Falkirk, and because we know how good a lad he is and how good a coach he is. So yeah, no, I was happy to see him doing well.
And you've been working with Jim now for about 3 years as well. What's it been like working with him?
Yeah, can't really speak highly enough of him, to be honest. He's been really good for me and my development. Obviously, signing for Peterhead back 3 years ago was a good step for me, but obviously Jim's man management and stuff like that has brought me on and made me the player I am, and hopefully he can bring me on even more.
What do you think his attributes then that gets the best out of players? Because we heard before with Simon Ferry saying he likes to see players do well and then move on. So what kind of attributes does he bring to the table then?
Definitely, I just want to reiterate what Sly said. He wants to see players play at the highest level they can, so he would never stop them from doing that. So similar to me, he signed me and he says he would never stand or in your way if you were wanting to push up the ladder. But he's been good. His man managing skills are brilliant. He can speak to him like a mate, and he can give you good advice. And maybe when things aren't going your way, he'll put an arm around you and stuff like that. So no, he knows how to man manage a player, and that's obviously good to know.
And how good's he been in under these circumstances then? Is he in regular contact with you?
Yeah, we're on the WhatsApp quite a lot. Scott Brown's been really good. Obviously, he's been keeping the players up to date of what's happening and the steps and stuff like that. So we're all connected through our WhatsApp group, and we've been getting regular updates from Scotty and stuff like that. So he's been in touch with the manager quite a lot. So any information that gets passed through him, it's just straight to us.
That must have helped you quite a bit during the lockdown as well, isn't it, Jason? The fact that you've got quite a close-knit group as well, it seems. We spoke to Si and obviously Scott the other week. Obviously, you've got your group together, and it seems to help everybody out.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really good group of boys. We've got a really good changing room on and off the pitch. It's maybe a wee bit difficult for me now that I'm maybe the only, me and Lenny are the only Aberdeen boys, and the rest are probably south-based. But we get together on a Tuesday and we do have a good session together and then meet up on a Saturday. So it's a shame I couldn't see more of them, because we all get on really well, but it's just the way it is. And it does help.
Is that, you mentioned the only you and Lenny are the Aberdeen boys. Is that frustrating for you then, that you're the only two kind of local kind of guys then, or is that purely and simple just football, that's how it is?
Yeah, it is frustrating. Obviously, when I signed, there was 3 years ago, there was 5-6 of us, so it was good. We were all meeting up on a Tuesday and a Thursday, so we're getting two sessions rather than just now we're just getting the one, seeing them on a Tuesday. But that's just the way it is now. Obviously, it was good to have the 5 or 6 where you could all meet up and train together on a Tuesday and maybe on a Thursday. But yeah, like you say, it's the way it is. It's sometimes not the easiest thing for us up here, but we've just got to get our heads down and get on with it. And then so it is frustrating a wee bit, but it's just the way it is.
But you see the guys who are coming in, like Ryan Conroy, for example, the experience he has. Does that then maybe compensate for the lack of sort of local talent then?
Yeah, it's good. I think that's, like you say, the quality we have in the change room, when you see who the boys coming in, the players we do have, your side ferries and stuff, you are going to have to maybe look outside the local category to get these kind of guys. And no, it's obviously brilliant to have these boys on board, and the careers they've had and experience that they pass on to you, and playing with them is a really good privilege. So no, it is good when you turn up and you're training and the standard's that good, and everyone has high expectations every single training session, every single Saturday. So no, it's probably what you need.
Must show you how highly players rate Jim and Peterhead as a club, the fact that they're willing to travel up from Glasgow and commit to signing for Peterhead for whether it be a season or two.
Definitely, like I said, for us Aberdeen up here, it's a frustrating that there's only maybe a couple of us, but you then have to look at the commitment that the guys from down south put up. They sacrifice quite a lot of their weekend, come up, stay over on a Friday night, and then not get home until 9:30, 10:00 on a Saturday. So no, that shows you how good Peterhead is and how well they look after players and stuff like that, that people are able to do that sacrifice and come up. That obviously is a big appeal to do that, and that's a great job done from Peterhead.
I guess that's not just Jim himself, that's the kind of the board and the team round about as well that makes it so appealing for the players to come in.
Definitely. I mean, if you see the way we get treated on a Tuesday training, when we're training, there's Harry's normally cooking our dinner and stuff like that, and everyone's so friendly around the club. It's definitely a real positive for Peterhead and something to be proud of, the way they look after their players. We really can't even if we get beat on the Saturday or whatever it is, there's still food on a Tuesday and there's still directors come down to training and all that to keep in touch with the players. So no, we really are treated second to none. So it's absolutely a massive, massive well done to the staff and the directors and all of Peterhead.
So about yourself then, what did Jim say to you to convince you to sign for Peterhead then, having dropped down the divisions?
Yeah, no, obviously I finished my time at Inverness. The youth team there got scrapped when they got relegated into the Championship. So no, I came home and Jordan was mentioned a few times that he was going training. So I just see if I could kind of tag along and go to training with him and just to keep fit over the summer. So no, we did that. I went along to training and I really enjoyed it. And I met Jim and the gaffer. Yes, and I just went along and then things developed and played a few trial games. And then, the gaffer was happy for me to give me a contract. And maybe at the start he did say to me that I maybe wouldn't come in and play every game. And that was to be expected. But that season, I think I started the first game at East Fife 1-0 in the cup. And then I didn't really look back. I think I played every single game that season, scored 10 goals. So no, that was the kind of the way that signing for Peterhead came about. So no, it was a bit random one, but it was one that I'll never look back on.
So you mentioned your first season, then third game, I think it was against the Hearts in the Cup at home. How good a game was that?
Yeah, that was obviously that was a great game, and great obviously getting my first goal in such a big game, and the test playing against Hearts and the big crowd that was there. Yeah, it was one that's definitely up there with the Hamden day for me. It's obviously a big highlight in my career so far. And yeah, it was a great game from start to finish.
And did you think that was how it was going to be permanently at the Balmoor, 1,300 crowd?
I took it was maybe a wee bit because of the visitors we had that day. No, but it was definitely a good way to start off my Balmoor career. And get my first goal that day, and yeah, no, it was a good way to carry on.
Had you walked off that game with a draw, would you have taken it?
I think we would have, yeah. I think we played really well in that game, remembering it anyway. I think Hearts knew they were in a tough game. We dug in really well and made it really hard for them that game. So I think we would have definitely took the point, but the 3 points in that game was brilliant.
Playing against a player like Kyle Lafferty must have been pleasing for you.
Yeah, definitely. Playing against him, obviously, had such a good career as well. And these are the guys, like I was saying earlier, you want to test yourself against the best players. And we definitely weren't out of our depth that day. So it was really encouraging, gave me a lot of confidence. And yeah, like I said, it was a good start and something to build on.
And having scored so early, was it a bit more frustrating than letting them score so close to half-time?
Yeah, I think it was 5 minutes or so before half-time they kind of equalised, but it shows you, again, a great response we had that game, that we were able to dig in and see it out with most of the rest of the game, and then we were able to nick a penalty, and Rory tapped it in, was it? I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it showed a lot of character of us that game, a bit of a sore one to take, as they say, just before half time. But no, the response was great, and then obviously to nick it at the end was brilliant.
And it was definitely 100% a penalty. There's no question about it, it was a penalty. But to have somebody like Rory McAllister stepping up, I guess you were confident he was going to score?
Yeah, definitely. He always goes on about his penalty history and that, so no, I had all the faith, I think I can say now, in him to score that. So no, it was absolutely a great feeling to see him hit the back of the net.
And for the rest of that season, then you said you played the majority of the games. You missed out on promotion though, by a point. How annoying was that towards the end of the season, knowing that at some point in the season it was actually in our own hands?
Yeah, I think it was a major, major sore one again. That first year that we led quite a lot of the way, and then we just got tipped by a point. It was a really sore one for the boys, and even though quite on a personal note, it was a great season for my first season. It's obviously all about the team, and we'd have definitely took the team winning over the personal accolades or whatever it was for a start. So no, but it was a major disappointment team wise, and obviously coming so close was a real sore one.
The two games against Stenhouse Muir, I guess the first leg was really the killer, having lost 2-0.
Yeah, definitely. And so obviously with the disappointment of losing the league by a point, and then having to try and pick yourself up for the playoff game the following Tuesday, it was really tough. And then I think they scored early-ish in the game as well. Obviously it was a sickener, and then they got a second. It was always going to be a tough one to come back from.
So having seen a relatively successful first season, a successful second season, so how different was the third season then for you?
Yeah, no, I think it still was we can class as a successful season. As we said, it was obviously just a big step up in class, and that's where you want to be. So no, it was a frustrating season, but it was still definitely a successful one. Obviously, with staying in the league and stuff. So no, frustrations were ups and downs, I would say.
And was the target just primarily to stay up then?
Yeah, I don't think we really set ourselves too many targets at the start of the season. We just kind of took game by game and seen where we were at. We fully expected to be, like I said earlier, looking up rather than down. But by then it was obviously the other way around. But we just had to dig in and see where we ended up. So luckily we stayed in the league, which was obviously a massive positive.
Does that say how ambitious you are as a team, that you're frustrated and disappointed with the season, although we finished eighth and we stayed in the league?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the quality we've got in that dressing room. We should be much higher up the league, and everyone believes that. So it's a good note that everyone's disappointed with the season, even though, like I said, it was still a successful one that way, as we stayed in the league, stuff like that. So yeah, it says a lot about the dressing room.
For you, yourself, then, at the start of the season, there was a bit of a tinkering with the defence slightly. You were part of a two-man central defence. There was a three-man central defence at one point. You played at right-back as well. Which did you prefer?
Yeah, I think my best position is obviously in the middle, centre-half. So, but a couple of games that we needed to maybe makeshift me to right back or whatever, and as long as I can try and help the team, I'm obviously happy to be playing. But yeah, I prefer probably playing in the centre, but if I have to try and do a job for the team on the right, it's no problem at all, as long as I'm playing.
And we've mentioned as well, Martin and myself, through the season, that the partnership between yourself and Scott Hooper seems to be a good one. You seem to kind of complement each other. Did you find that as well, that you seem to perform better with him, or is it just one of those kind of things you just put your head down and keep playing?
Yeah, no, definitely. We obviously knew playing against Hoops that he was a really good player, and we knew playing against him, it was always a tough game. So no, Hoops coming in was definitely a big lift, and we obviously paired up. I think with the first couple of games took us a wee bit of time to adjust our games to get used to each other, but when we did, I think we went through a good spell in the season. We were playing really well, passing the ball out from the back, and putting a good solid few performances during that partnership. And then obviously Hoops getting injured, I think that was a massive thing for us. He's a big player, and like I said, me and his relationship was only getting stronger. So no, we had to readjust again, and obviously it was a tough one for us, but yeah, it was a good partnership.
How important is it for you, Jason, to have that continuity at centre-back and having Hoops alongside you?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think we complement each other's game really well, covering each other and stuff like that. I think we get along really well off the pitch as well, which also helps. So, no, it's really good to know to be playing alongside someone like Hoops. And obviously, we were just getting into it, and then he got injured, so it was a bit of a sore one to take, but no, hopefully we can get back to that.
What's the kind of attributes that he's got then that makes you like playing alongside him?
I think we're relatively the same kind of player. We both love defending. We're both strong, aggressive, and quite quick enough. So I know that we can always be on the front foot, and then if anything does happen, that I'll be there covering him, and then on the other side, he'll be there covering me. So I think having that kind of, he's got your back, I've got his back, is a good partnership to have. And yeah, so I think that's what stood us in good stead.
And was there any sort of particular reason as to why halfway through the season that you and Scott both changed numbers?
No, not really. It was just that the manager thought that it was a good change to make. We obviously had a good few good signings come in, so no, we just retweaked the numbers a wee bit. It was nothing personal or anything. So no, it was all good.
Having gotten the number five, then do you maybe see yourself now as the senior centre half then, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, number five's a centre defender's number, so obviously it's my preferred position. So no, I'm happy to take that on and hopefully kick on.
You should see you and Scott are both kind of aggressive. You like to kind of get the tackles, but you're not overly aggressive in the sense that you're making two-footed lunges and things like that. Watching you for the sidelines, we noticed that now and again you like to kind of make your presence known, shall we say, to your strikers.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the old school centre half as I pride my game on players. You're like yourself, or you're in the man of the ditch and stuff like that. We always are rough and ready. So no, I quite like the leaving the foot now and again to make sure they know they're in a game. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
Who's been the worst one to mark this season?
I always find it hard, and I stick by it, that the best striker in the league is David B. Willey. I mean, we always have a good battle meeting him. So no, it's one I really look forward to playing against him and challenging myself against him, because I know of such a good class of player he is. So no, I would go with that.
It's a worst type of striker you didn't want to play against. Is it the very tall, stocky centre half, or is it the likes of this nippy wee strikers? It's the worst team to play against.
I'd probably say for me it would be the smaller ones, the agile ones, the quick ones, and ones that don't give you a minute on the ball, or they don't give you a piece. They're always buzzing about. You're more your David Good really types, where you know you don't have long on the ball, even if you know you do, they're really busy around you. So no, I'd go with the small and agile ones.
You mentioned David Goodwillie. Is that purely because he plays for Clyde and you know that we've got a bit of a rivalry with Clyde?
Yeah, I think our games with Clyde, they're always heated. There's always talking points in them. So no, I think that does add to the fire a wee bit.
There's been a few talking points with Clyde this season. Goodwillie set it off in particular, and the Sky Ferry game, as we're calling it. Why do you think there is such a rivalry between the two teams?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. It's a really hard one. I just always think they're good, competitive, close games between us and Clyde. Two good teams, obviously. It's always close. There's not much in it. So sometimes they do get heated and overspilled like they have. But yeah, there's not much you can say about that.
And after the game, do you still kind of get that aggression to another, or is it kind of a case of that's 90 minutes over, shake hands, and then that's it?
Yeah, you always have to shake hands with him, so you shake hands and get on with it. But I think there has maybe the season or whatever overspilled into the dressing rooms a few times. But no, like you say, when that final whistle goes, you shake hands and you move on to the next game.
You mentioned the amount of goals you scored in your first season. You only scored one this season. Is there any kind of reason for that, you think, or is it just a case that you haven't been in, you didn't get the chances, shall we say?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's down to that. It's just the way it planned out. Maybe I could have done a wee bit better in the opposition box as well. But no, the first season was obviously it was a freak season as well, a wee bit with 10 goals for a defender. But no, I like to think I am a threat in the opposition box. So yeah, I'd like to maybe add a few more goals again.
You set yourself any targets for goals, or are you just purely just concentrating on your own defensive game?
Not at all, yeah. I think defending comes first and foremost for all of us. We'd much rather have a clean sheet than worry about the other end of the pitch. We primarily focus on defending and keeping them out. So yeah, that's definitely the primary objective, is to make sure that none aren't going in against us first and foremost.
And you maybe have to be careful what you say here, but what's it like having Simon Ferry as your coach now?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Did he tell you to say that?
Yeah, no. I don't think he's anything else, to be honest. But no, Si's obviously brilliant with us, and the career he's had and the experiences he's got is brilliant, and him moving into that coaching role and taking training now, it's always high intensity. It's brilliant. Every drill's high intensity for you. You've always got to, you know, on a Tuesday when you turn up, you're going to get a really good session because Si's taking it. So no, it's been really good having him as a coach.
You're still relatively young yourself, and what's kind of your, if you want any sort of career targets or achievements you want to get, or are you just quite happy to play in season to season with Peterhead at the moment?
Yeah, no, like I said, I've really enjoyed my 3 years with Peterhead, and I can't be thankful enough for them for the chances they've given over the last 3 years. So I'm just keeping my head down, playing my football, and then see what happens.
If you got a opportunity to go full time, do you think you would take it?
Like you say, I think that the opportunity would have to suit you down to a T. Nowadays, it's obviously I've got a job and stuff, so I'm quite relatively settled in that side of things, and obviously I'm playing for a really good club, so the offer would have to be a pretty good one to move me away from that, and I'm really happy where I am just now.
And what's your sort of future plans then? I know at this kind of time, normally, I guess, contracts may be getting spoken about. Those things maybe aren't in the front line at the moment. So what's kind of your thoughts on what's going to happen in the next sort of 6-7 weeks?
Yeah, I think we're all in the same kind of boat. We need to see what's going to be cleared up in hopefully the next few weeks, and then once everything's sorted out with the leaks and stuff like that, then we can get the contracts and stuff and all that talk started, and hopefully get a squad put together for starting next season as quickly as we can.
Do you pay much attention to what's been happening, or read much in the press of what's happening with sort of reconstruction and the way the leagues might happen or when they might start, etc.?
Yeah, I think it's not too good for us to read in it too much, but obviously you see it and you hear things quite a lot, and it's changing daily right now, so no, you can't look into things too much. So I'm just kind of keeping my head down, and we're in regular group, regular contact in the group chat if anything majorly is happening. So we'll, I'm sure we'll hear. So no, until then, we'll just keep our heads down and hopefully stay safe for now.
And Derek Lyle's looking like he's going to be playing for another season, playing past 40. Is that something that you think you might be doing it at 40?
Yeah, it's a major credit to himself. The way I think he's a perfect role model for any of us younger players. The way he keeps himself, his body, and his nick of him. So no, he trains every Tuesday. He turns up, and you can't fault a thing about him. So no, the way he conducts himself on and off the pitch is a massive credit, and it's a good inspiration.
Do you think he's going to go into coaching or anything like that, or is he just going to stop and that'll be him?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Dell would make a good coach. He's really good at passing on his experience to us younger ones. So there's no reason why I couldn't see him going on to be a good coach as well. He's always trying to help the younger players and where we can improve. And so, yeah, I could see Del going on if that was a path he was wanting to pursue.
And he's still scoring goals at 39, so he can't be doing that too bad.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's been scored a few important goals for us this season, and he's led the line well. So no, we can't really complain with that at all. Maybe being a bit of a shame on him that Rory's left and he's been having to play more games than he maybe would have wanted to for his age, but he's stepped up to the plate and he's conducted himself brilliantly.
Was Rory leaving a surprise to you, or was it a surprise to the rest of the team?
I think it was a surprise. We didn't really know what was happening, but obviously Rory was a massive loss for me as I travelled everywhere with him. We're really good pals and stuff. So I think I heard saying in the last podcast that Si said I was almost crying when it happened. I didn't think I'd have shown it that badly, but it was a big loss for us on and off the pitch again, and definitely even a bigger loss for me as we were so close and obviously we trained together and we travelled together at every game. And so he's been a big loss.
Do you think that affected the second half of the season then?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, losing a player like Rory is going to affect you in some sort of way because you just have to look at his stats and his goals, and obviously taking that away from a team is going to affect you. But like I said, we just have to get our heads down and go again. And we had the squad to hopefully compensate with Rory going. So no, we just have to keep our heads down and keep playing away, even though it did affect us, I feel, yeah.
And looking at the players that definitely are signed up for next season, that there's four of them that we know of. Stephen Boyd, Alan Cook, Aidan Smith, that kind of players, does that kind of excite you to play alongside them? I know they're obviously further advanced, further forward kind of players, but to get a player like Stephen Boyd must be fill your confidence going into next season.
Definitely, I think the him and Cookie both came in and they both were a big positive for us. They've both, obviously Boyd, as you mentioned, he's still relatively young, and he's also had good experience in the past with Hamilton and stuff like that. So yeah, it was good. It gives you a good lift, and obviously these are the kind of guys you want to be playing alongside. So yeah, no, hopefully we can get everyone else signed up, and it'll be a good season for us again next.
I guess if we played the rest of the eight games, the final eight games, they obviously would have been able to establish themselves in the team and get some kind of teamwork going. So I would have said you probably would have been confident you would have finished comfortably inside the league.
Yeah, definitely. I think we had a few new signings and they were just starting to embed themselves into the team and stuff like that. You were starting to see, I think Boyd scored the week before, to beat them Barton 1-0 and stuff like that. So I think we were just starting to gel, and we definitely believed in that dressing room that there's no way we're going to be finishing looking down.
So for next season then, what's the kind of targets?
Yeah, roughly again, see where we're at by the time it comes round, and when it comes around right now, I don't think anyone knows, but when it does, hopefully we can have a better season than we can build on the one we've just had.
Were you disappointed with the cup runs?
Yeah, I think we did. Maybe, like I said, it was frustrating also in the cup this season with our runs in it. I think we were unlucky. Obviously, the Raith Rovers game that we got beat 1-0 was a big one. I think we absolutely battered them that day, and to get them to beat us 1-0 was a big smash and grab, as they say. But yeah, we were frustrated with that also. So yeah, definitely.
Pretty sure in that Raith Rovers game with a penalty that wasn't awarded as well, wasn't it? Was that the handball?
Yeah, I think there was. Like I mentioned earlier as well, I think we a couple of times we were on the back of a couple of bad decisions which could swing games and turn games. So yeah, no, I think we can feel a bit hard done by some things.
And if you look at the sort of Raith Rovers game, having been promoted, you're potentially one game away from, you know, the fourth round, a plum tie. So does that make it even more frustrating that you didn't play, or sorry, didn't get the game won?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely deserved more that day, and obviously it was the round before the big teams came in, and it was a bit of a sore one for us, like you say. But our main objective this season was on the league. But like you say, that would a cup run would have maybe got a wee bit more confidence into the boys. So no, it was a sore one at tape, but we just had to move on.
I'm going to end with some quick fire questions of you, if that's all right.
No worries.
So we've maybe kind of already touched on the kind of player that you've played against this season. Who's the most difficult opponent overall?
Overall, yeah, I've mentioned him a couple of times. I would have to probably say Clyde's good bully. I've played against him a few times now, and it's always a good game. I feel like I do well against him, but yeah, he's obviously, you know, you have to be on your game against these types of players, because if you're not, a moment and they'll punish you. So yeah, I'll say David Willey.
Who's the most intelligent player that you've played with?
I would have to probably say Crax. Yeah, he was obviously, his experience of him coming to the end of his career, he knew every trick in the book to play with, and obviously being in my position, I was able to learn a lot off. So yeah, he was definitely up there for that one.
What's your best goal you've scored?
My best goal, I'm just going to have to put down to that first Hearts one, I think, obviously with the size of the game and being my first goal for the club, and I think it was a good header, so I'll go with the Hearts goal.
If you could personally change one rule in football that's currently there, what would it be?
That's a tricky one. You'd probably have to be... I'll have to pass on that one, I think. I'm not sure.
Mother?
You're being diplomatic.
Yeah, I'll leave that one.
Who's the hardest player you've played against? In terms of, you know, tackling-wise?
Tackling-wise, the hardest player I played against would probably, you know, Connor Salmon for Falkirk. He was now probably one of the strongest players I played against. Obviously, the size of him and the strength he had, it was obviously really tough to get around. So I'll go for Connor Salmon.
I thought you had him in your pocket quite a lot, but did you not?
Yeah, maybe, but like I said, maybe strength wise and tackling wise, it's something I thrived on. But it was always a tough player to obviously play against with the size and strength of him.
The best stadium you've played football in?
I've been on the bench, obviously, at Celtic Park, like for Inverness. I didn't actually play there, but that was an unreal experience. But to play in, I'd probably have to go Hampden, winning the league last year, yeah.
On your teammates then, who's always on their phone?
Always on their phone, I'd probably play. Si's always on his phone. You always see him tweeting and his selfies he takes, yeah, so I'll go Si.
The worst dresser?
Worst dresser, I really had to put down a Big Flem. He always produced a pair of special jeans and shoes on a team night out or a nice t-shirt, so I'll give it to Greg Fleming.
And rumour has it you're the music guy before the games, is that right?
Yeah, I think me and Del will take turn about. It's a tough crowd to please. I mean, they're all moaning, but someone's got to do it, so no, I'm happy to take the hit for that one.
So apart from obviously you two then, who's got the worst taste of music?
Probably have to say Si. He likes some crazy hip hop tunes and stuff like that, so yeah, I'll say Si.
The last one I've got for you, Jason, is with your teammates, who is the best but also the worst at training?
Best and worst?
Yeah.
The best trainer, I think, obviously, I'll go Scott Brown for this one, and the way he conducts himself, both training and games, he's always at it 100%, so I'll say best would have to be Scott Brown, and the worst trainer, I'd have to give it to my big pal at Mick Dunlop. He always hated the journey up the training, and then when he got there, it was obviously a bit hard one for him to get going, but I'll go for Mick Dunlop that one.
Excellent. Right then, Jason, thanks very much for coming on. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Cheers.
That was Peterhead defender Jason Brown there, who joined us earlier in the week. Our thanks to go to Jason for taking the time to come on our podcast, and also to our sponsors, Marco Chipper. And a massive thank you to you guys for listening, as always. That's it for another week. We'll see you all soon. Cheers.